Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian.
When I was a teenager,
I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update, this week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog.
Today's topics,
loosely speaking,
Boethius,
restorative broth,
Malden.
What's going on, Kate? What's on your mind, Kate?
So I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Metaphorically or literally? Because sometimes it's both.
Oh, so is there something there? Like, there is no wrong side. No, okay.
Well, of course there is. Yes, that's how one should approach life.
No, I really did wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I woke up on the wrong side. Okay? I'm not in a good place.
Oh my God, I just had a huge realization about woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm literally in shock. Are you ready?
What?
I always pictured it as meaning, I just realized this isn't what it is, getting, like you got, oh no, is that the expression? You got out of bed?
No, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Which means like you're over on the left versus over on the right. I've always thought of it as which side you stepped out of your bed. Isn't that funny?
That is bizarre. I actually have, here's a little kind of OCD thing of mine. I read in a 17 magazine or a Cosmo 462 years ago that Selma Hayek always steps out of bed with the right foot first.
No.
Like, and so I've been doing that my entire life, my entire adult life.
You never forget.
I think about Selma Hayek every morning. Selma.
Oh, Selma.
It's Selma.
What was I saying? Selma?
Isn't it Selma?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Isn't that wild though? By the way, another thought.
No, therefore she's present every morning.
I've never articulated that. No one knows that.
Yes.
And isn't it? It's weird how I say something like that, which is deeply personal and has been kind of a ritual I've been doing for again 462 years. Suddenly, now that it's hit the air and I've said it out loud, I had an urge not to say it.
Yeah.
And now do I feel robbed of a private ritual?
No, this is huge.
Should we keep things to ourselves?
Oh, that's God,
that's like the kind of the big question, because I find that I can't.
Mm.
And so sometimes I feel like part of my...
Almost sounded like you were heading towards can. I feel like I can't.
No, I can't keep a goddamn thing to myself.
Right.
And so the foot thing that I just said, like, that's something that I've never uttered.
But of course, don't you feel that, like, you got excited when you realized, and I think we share this, when you realized you had something that you've never articulated.
It's exciting.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a goddamn thrill. There's a, oh, we found a jewel in the soil, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's inherently a jewel because it was in the soil, even if it's a mere rock.
It was buried deep within my private life.
Right? So there's a thrill to bringing out... to making ostensible the latent. Mm. I'm always trying to work ostensibility versus latency into any conversation. But no, wait, let me think if there's anything I've regretted.
Bringing to light.
Well, there is that quality of, you know, yeah, once it's out, has it... See, but I feel like that Selma Hayek thing, unless you feel like it's...
No, I'm fine with it being out.
A magical ritual.
Yeah, that's why I feel a little bit... It feels a little magical.
Oh, it does.
Feels magical to me, though. It's a superstitious thing.
Right.
Stepping out with the right foot first.
Well, that's interesting, because maybe what that is then is...
Hoarding luck?
Well...
To interrupt?
No, but I love that idea.
No, because it's like, shouldn't I... I'm like, no, if this is a little positive ritual or a little superstition, why wouldn't I just want to share that with the group?
No, exactly. But this is interesting. Private ritual in a compulsive way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can lose its power when you speak it aloud, right? But in a good way, because these are, like, technically, anytime you're no longer in prison. Okay, the difference between positive ritual for the self that supports you and compulsive ritual of OCD.
To serve the demons,
living in a prison of I have to put my foot down, you know. So it sounds like that one for you. Somewhere in between, right? It's a little bit compulsive.
Oh, yeah, it's somewhere in between.
But a little bit joyful also. And so it's like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, my fears of going to Overeaters Anonymous, right? Like don't take away the magic, the numinosity of what occurs between me and food, you know, late in the night.
I can't believe you said numinosity, because the word numinous has been following me lately.
It's been following me as well, actually.
Really?
The numinous has been hunting us.
No, numinous, it's I love when that happens, and that is God. But truly, when things just continue to appear like that, or chasing you, being chased by words or ideas or images, what is that?
Well, the synchronicity. It's meaningful coincidence. It's you and me living the Jungian life. Okay.
It's Jung. It all comes back to goddamn Carl. Carl runneth.
Amok?
Amok? Carl has entered me now. I mean, he's always been there, but the Jung stuff has been huge for me lately. I mean, I feel like the last four episodes we've talked about, I should just move on.
No, I know. We keep referencing him, and it's actually...
I have a new Thomas More. It's another author I enjoy.
You know, you said that, and I heard Sir Thomas More, Man for All Seasons.
Thomas More, who also is a Jungian, practical psychology, you might call it. I'm reading a book called Soulmates. Couldn't recommend it more.
I always confuse him with Merton.
Never heard of him.
Oh, wow.
Thomas More wrote a book called, I guess, Care of the Soul, which I've never read. But this book, Soulmates, is divine.
See, this is what my concern was. Irish writer Thomas More from 1779, Kate. Is that what you're reading?
Honey, I wish. This guy's still breathing.
Is it an indignity to read anyone who's still breathing?
Yes.
I think it is, right? Because what is a book? It's a letter from the past. How dare you ask anyone to read something current?
I want to be coiled up with Dante. You know, but I'm not.
Oh my God. Dreaming.
What is your relationship to Dante?
Okay, I have one. Are you ready what it is? It's nothing. Well, it sounds like you have a relationship with Dante, but you asked and you ran because you were like, oh no.
I don't. I really wish I did. I mean, I have like gentle Dante.
Wait, I was about to answer.
Go.
No, all it is that in college I had a professor who talked about how, oh my God, it wasn't Dante. It was Milton, Paradise Lost. Same difference. Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. Every Christmas, his wife reread Paradise Lost, and I've never forgotten it.
Wow.
The idea of like, well, every year I revisit.
I love that.
Paradise Lost, and I learn new things.
I want to be that woman.
I know.
That's my dream of my future. That's my dream of my life.
I know it is. Every, I know. To have
Something. I want to be once a year. I go away, even just for two nights. I want to be on some cliffside town with the waves crashing and be alone in my solitude, leaving my children and my partner and my whole life behind. And I want to just, right. you know, I read Paradise Lost once a year.
Yeah.
I drink scalding hot Darjeeling tea.
Me laughing.
And I look out at the sea and the waves crash against the rocks. And I, you know, ponder those who have passed and my own mortality and I like jerk off in the mirror or something. Dante.
Yeah, my only really knowledge of Dante is the Cole Porter lyric where he turns it around and he says, "And for her nose, Dante."
What?
To rhyme with the great Durante.
That's not registering for me at all. I know not Cole Porter. I mean, I know Cole Porter because I wasn't raised under a rock. But I don't have any feelings there.
No, that's, you know, fair.
Were you a teacher's pet? Teacher's pet.
Depends what you mean. I had stimulating intellectual relationships with a variety of teachers.
Same.
In high school, of course. You know, they were shocked. I mean, they said, well, how do you know about Jung? Literally. Okay. They were shocked.
But did you have, you had close relationships with certain teachers?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. No, you and I are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Including like me and my friends, like staying after school to like further educate ourselves.
Because also you said Dante and that flashed me forward to being in college and this professor, this Italian professor who I was like taken by and he was like, you must transform your desire or whatever.
Taken with?
Did I say taken by?
I was just making sure he hadn't kidnapped you.
He took me. No, but I did end up going to Sicily with him in a small group.
Whoa. Okay.
There was an energy.
No.
I remember going to his apartment in Brooklyn Heights and like drinking Prosecco and discussing Dante and I was like, bah. But I didn't, but he... It was a big teacher's pet moment for me is that it was like day one of his class and I was, you know, again, taken. I didn't have a crush on him. I just truly meant I was like, the world of literature is unfurling before me. And him talking about Boethius, Consolation of Philosophy, and being like how that book is like divine. And then I, like a little bitch.
Boethius.
Boethius, I believe.
Wait, and it's not pronounced Bertus? Do you know why I'm asking? This is huge.
No.
Because they had just broken to say, I don't think he's German. I think Theta knows where I'm headed, our producer, which is, okay, ready? This is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah.
You know, Goethe?
Yes.
And I cackle because the spelling, you know, Goethes or whatever. It looks like Goethes.
Oh, right.
Okay,
sure.
But it's pronounced Goethe. And that's like to me, like one of the biggest flexes you can do is just
it's
to be
huge.
Like Goethe. And then like your friend looks up Goethe and they can't find it
fucked.
Because
yeah.
How could that be? And then I love like the Gothels Bridge, I guess, in New York. Isn't there a Gothels Bridge? And I'm like, it's Girdles.
Wow.
But no one's
there to hear you.
You've lost interest. Have you gone pursuing a free product
so
on your computer?
Online.
I see a hand.
No, my hand
forward.
Is right here. I it seems so cruel to say I lost interest. Something in me did break off.
Oh, I know.
I was also too focused on myself.
My excitement. No, I think my excitement around. See, I have this belief that because you love me, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That if I'm really excited about something, I expect you to go like, I'm going to find what's interesting in this because she's so excited about it. I'm going to love it.
Well, I do
and
love
instead,
you that much.
No, right.
But sometimes I will break off.
No, of course. But I'm like,
I would say 8 out of 10 times I'm there with you in the excitement.
No. And I appreciate about you because it's real. Okay. You're not coddling me at every turn. You know what I mean?
Right.
Only within, you know, reason. Right. But I'm just like, in my mind, there's a ratio that I'm always working with, okay? Mm-hmm. Of how long am I going to make you wait to hear this thing? Like, I'm like, the Goethe thing. I'm like, that's like two sentences. I can get that out really fast.
Yeah, loved
okay?
it.
So
loved
it provides any, you know... But it didn't enchant you, and that devastates me, and I go back into tap dancing. I'm like,
the Goethe thing did. It was when you broke off into the bridges. I started to go, and then I was in my mind, I was back with Boethius and kind of medieval philosophy for a second.
No, and I want to go back to the Boethius. When I go to bridges, it is with an absolute intention, okay, of returning. And that's also worth noting.
I know.
Wait, so I do want to come back to Boethius, okay?
I moved off him. Well, all I was going to say was that I, like a little teacher's pet, ran off to the library after class, checked out Boethius, Consolation of Philosophy, went home, you know, read some of it. And then the next day or 2 days later, bounced into class and then after class was like, by the way, I went and looked up.
No.
Like I checked up Consolation of Philosophy. It's sublime. And he was like, he went to the library, did you? And got the book. Not Irish, of course. But I was, can you believe I did that?
Well, I certainly can. And because I too know the flashing of a book, the book peeking out of a knapsack,
all of
those things relating through merely saying that you also bought a book.
I too own that book. Yeah. Were you involved? This is a very kind of New York City thing of the subway, mm-hmm. but like, were you involved in trying to constantly hope that you can make people fall in love with you based on
like performance of self on the subway?
Like, yeah. I, for many years in New York, I just convinced myself that I could get it down and I could just make scores of people fall in love with me just by like these like little brief encounters or simply by the way I was, you know, pretending to read on the subway.
Is it always with the book? It certainly helps. Okay.
The book helps.
But I was wondering, because to me that's interesting that you're afraid to be at the pool alone, and yet like performance of aloneness on the subway you're obviously comfortable with, to a point of using it as seduction.
Very comfortable.
I always was more enchanted with the idea of performing that I was like some weird genius. Okay. So for example, like it would be like the idea, I didn't do this, but I fantasized about almost like tapping my fingers kind of like I was working out a problem or a symphony. Okay.
Okay, wait. I'm stopping you there because I did working out a symphony acting on the airplane once as a, yes. I want to say I was 14 years old. Okay. The memory has flooded me. I haven't thought about it in 100 years. Having the tray down.
Playing
piano on the tray.
I'm
playing
dying.
Piano on the tray. So much that the guy next to me goes, do you play piano? Like, I was asking for it. By the way, to be clear, I was like 14.
Like, yeah, I don't want to get into it.
I was like, yeah. Looks... And then the rest is a blur. But you can imagine the intensity with which I was playing piano.
No, and that's an outrageous. Well, I once had, right, and this is a little more like authentic in the sense of like, and therefore more embarrassed to share it, but I had this notebook of all my like writings, or like a binder of various writings, you know, and that I was taking in and out of New York City on a subway to go to this like workshop. And a man, you know, sitting near me on the Metro North was like, like got off at his stop. Okay. After like, I don't know, we're both next to each other for 45 minutes. I'm paging through my materials, not performatively, yeah. You know, I will say. And he was like, keep writing. This kind of like, no, he meant like, you're good.
How dare you?
He meant like, don't give it up. He did not mean keep trying.
I know, but it still pisses me off.
No, of course. Yeah. Well, similarly in Grand Central, this is coming, talk about coming flooding back. Similarly in Grand Central, I'm wearing a red wool coat, you know, like looking like Paddington or something, right? I guess his coat wasn't red, it was blue, but you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the cheeks are flush in the winter. I'm wearing a hat, a scarf, it's snowing outside, and I'm waiting by the clock in the center of Grand Central. And
who are you waiting for? Sorry, keep going. I'm getting so, your language is so rich, I'm being brought into the story against my own will.
I don't know who I was waiting for, but I a man walks up to me, regards me, takes me by the shoulders.
No.
Kisses me on the cheek.
What?
Okay.
Jacqueline.
And says like something like, I'm sorry, I just had to. You were too cute or something.
No.
And walked away.
Jacqueline.
Shocking, right? I wonder if I could find a journal to have the exact words, but it was definitely something like that.
Did you love it?
No, I mean, I didn't
That's
love
horrifying.
It.
That's horrifying.
But what's funny is like, and this is...
Did it happen so fast?
It happened so fast, although did it, right? Because like, how many seconds did it probably take? It probably took... Well, first there's like someone's walking towards you with a confidence that you think surely they're just walking towards someone right behind me. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So there's that. And then there's the moment of like shock if someone takes you by the shoulders.
How old was this person?
He was probably like
60,
45. Kind of shocking, right? Because it's like, I don't know. It was weird. And then there's almost the,
ew.
See, this is the funny thing. It's like, I almost like, it's this moment where you can decide whether you're culturally obviously supposed to be horrified, right?
Yeah.
You know, horrified, disgusted, whatever, all of that, right? And then, but there's almost this moment where you're like, or is this just a great New York moment? Is it 1942?
Right.
Like, you know, the soldier bending the woman over to kiss her, right?
Yeah,
the soldier coming back and it's like, That was.
And then moments later, they took the photo.
He didn't know her.
They took the photo, and then moments later, she was screaming. Yeah. Right.
Okay. And so you're almost like, and I can't remember. I think I told this story to Chris later, like almost like it was a funny New York story. And like, yeah. And he was like, he was fucking furious. Like, who is that?
Yeah.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that is so not okay. And of course, it's not okay. I'm just trying to think if I've ever, there's other things like this where you like don't realize it's horrible.
I like that though as a prompt. I'll think for a second. Things that are horrible, but you didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. Or like you're ashamed that you sort of like went with it. But we do have to send them into the desert of the ad break. Pray for an oasis. It'll be our faces. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is.
That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel.
And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds, too.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching.
So you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is convenient. Kate and I talk about it all the time.
Love the way Babbel helps you for those quick real-world interactions.
Like how to order food or ask for directions. How to have a decent conversation with a merchant.
And who doesn't want to go on vacation and know the language?
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/poog. Get 60% off at babbel.com/poog.
Spelled babbel.com/poog. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Well, during the break, I noticed you've gone sullen, and I have an idea about how to lift you up.
Please do, because as I confessed earlier, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Oh, right.
Which I really haven't had that feeling in a minute. But it was that thing of just, ugh.
Again, both literally and metaphorically in this case?
No. I was literally where I always am.
Just metaphorically. Yeah. Okay, your rage at me reveals.
I'm sorry. That was true childlike irritability. That was outrageous.
I don't know. Maybe you said it earlier, but I was too enchanted.
I think maybe I had upsetting dreams. I had a dream I was like wandering in the city and people were just like openly shitting in the street. And I saw all these people who were like, I don't know. I just was in this kind of dark city, this like kind of, you know, wasteland of a metropolitan decay.
Gotham versus New York. Batman's Gotham.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps it's not really a relevant reference for me over at Janus Films.
Yeah, sorry, I'm strictly Janus.
I just think it's funny to call it Janus.
Janus, yeah.
I dreamt that I was pissing for about 5 minutes, relieved to wake up to dryness, because I dreamt that I woke up after having pissed the bed to a point of just like a whole room of piss.
Interesting.
And it was pretty interesting. And I've been trying to re-up, obviously, given everything, on dream work, dream journaling. I'm sure I've said it on Poop before, but you know the key to remembering your dreams, or one technique.
Write them down every day.
Yes, but even better, what if you say, because you say that to people and they say, but I don't remember anything. You make it up. You pretend you remember.
You geniusly told me that. That changed my life.
Isn't that huge? You write it down. So you go, yeah, I dreamt last night that a kangaroo, you know, caught me sniveling grease.
Okay. But what did you say? Because
But then the subconscious.
Was this on Poop previously? Because it was so genius that it's more exhausting for your subconscious to bury the dream than to create a lie.
Yes. The subconscious goes, I'll just give it to you. It's easier to remember it than go through this process of you making it up.
Phenomenal.
So I'm starting and noting down the little bit at a time.
Did you dream about Trump explicitly? Like, did he come into your dreams?
Once I dreamt I was at like this small sort of party or gathering or something. And it was like, oh my God, Trump's here. Okay. And it was like, oh fuck. And it was like, and he comes in and it was this weird thing where I looked around like, what do? Like throw something at him. Like, oh, and he spoke to me politely. And I was like, it was like this feeling of like, it was the nightmare of someone's politeness causing you to almost like respond by accident, like hello, like
right.
Like nice to meet you, no, you know.
Yeah,
what about you? It sounds like you did.
I did dream once. I had once had a sex dream where I was Trump. I dreamt that I was Trump, and it was actually lucid. It was partially lucid.
Now if you looked down at your hands, were they Trump hands?
No, so I
was
walked.
You as your body, but you knew.
No, I was Trump.
Okay.
And I was walking into this like I believe it was some kind of like industrial refrigerator or freezer area. And I walked in and I was like, oh my God, I'm Trump. And there was this very kind of like bombshell blonde in there. And I went up to her and I like pulled her hair aside and whispered in her ear. This is graphic. Ready?
Yeah.
It's hysterical. I said, I'll buy you a car if you let me go down on you.
No.
And then I came.
No.
Yeah.
In the dream? I'm sorry. I'm not to be juvenile who doesn't understand.
I woke up like, ah!
Really? Yeah. No. Yeah.
And I was Trump.
Very interesting, obviously. Wait, let me just take it in. If I buy you a car,
will you let me go down on you? Or I'll buy you a car if you let me go down on you.
Right. It's interesting because I don't imagine him kind of like, if you let me, you know, is generous. Trump, I don't think he has that in, he doesn't have that in him.
There's something that's like actually so erotic about being like, I'm going to go down on you and then I'm going to buy you a car. Like, it's
see,
cool.
That even though is like still more forceful. There was the like request embedded in yours,
no, totally.
If you let me. And that's, you know, consent was present for you.
Consent was very much present in my dream.
Like the dream world is supposed to be absolutely untouchable in terms of like, like, you cannot shame someone for your dream. You cannot, you know, whatever. And so I just think it's funny to be like, meanwhile, nonetheless, I...
No, it was still, yeah.
Do you have any dreams from childhood that you still remember? Early nightmares?
I remember my first dream ever, which was that I was in some kind of gift shop. Obviously a wonderland for me. And there was a carousel, the carousel of postcards.
I know it well.
Which used to be a really important thing for me, like the postcards, yes. The carousel. And I'm looking at the carousel of postcards, and then there's just a witch there. Just like a classic, like, witch. And that was, I think, my first dream, because I was in a stroller. I was being strolled, like I was in a stroller, and right. I was observing the postcard carousel from the stroller.
Oh my God.
And I once also saw a witch. It's like early, like childhood magical reality stuff where I thought I saw a witch on a broom like sail across the sky.
Oh, fantastic.
So cool. It was also like around Halloween.
Of course. Therefore legitimizing like that maybe it was. Well, I have a memory that I, you know, arguably could have been a dream, but I still like prefer to kind of stand by that I saw the Easter Bunny. Okay. Which is like not even like no one thinks that myth is real. Like,
but no, I believed in the Easter Bunny after Santa. Santa was revealed to be false. I told my parents, I said, you have to tell me if he's real or not, because a lot of the kids are saying he's not real. And I just need you to tell me, is Santa real? And it was before school. And I remember my parents were like, yeah, it's not real. And I was like, oh my God. I wish I had never asked. Like, I got a meltdown. And then it was like weeks later, I was like, Easter Bunny's real though, right?
Oh, no.
I was the Easter Bunny too.
That is so you, like the anxiety appearing. Okay, and then like, Easter Bunny's right, right? Because that voice, like, Easter Bunny's right, is what you do when you're like, you're walking a thin line between safety and danger. Okay?
Exactly. You know me
and
so well.
And you're like, if I just say it casually like this, yeah, it's almost like the gods won't notice. The gods won't notice if I just quickly ask for the thing I want to be true.
I know.
You're like, the rabbit's real, right? The rabbit's real, though. If I say it quietly, yeah. Like, because you don't want to be like, the rabbit's real. And then the universe will scream back, no, it's not. So you're like, rabbit's real, right? Right? It's like very specific of your psychology through gesture and...
I mean, the tooth fairy, don't even get me started, loved the tooth fairy.
But I thought I saw the Easter Bunny downstairs. I went down for a drink of water. And it was like a huge, you know, walking Donnie Darko bunny, whatever.
Yeah.
And
did the bunny look at you? Was there an acknowledgement?
I can't remember now. I've lost it now. I became too accepting of the idea that it was merely a dream. And so I've sort of lost the memory. But wait. Well, you know, my Santa Claus, what they had to do.
No.
I had anxiety that I'm sure I've told you this. I was like, I'm so excited for Santa to come tonight. I'm so excited for Santa to come tonight. I'm so excited for Santa. Okay, like, and then like crying hysterically, thus revealing
they were scared.
As a little child that I was like terrified. Okay. Aww. It was like, so I was trying to like, I was trying to be positive about it.
Overcompensate.
Typical, right? I'm so excited for Santa to come tonight. Again, like, I'm so excited. And then like crying. And then it was like, or this is how my parents describe it, is almost like I'm saying I'm excited. And then like, it's like, but I'm saying it with an intensity that's revealing something under the surface. And then, like a freak out. And then
so human.
The fear, I was like, my fear was of surprise. Okay. Anticipation and surprise. This used to happen to me if someone delivered pizza to our house. Same thing. If I know something's coming, it's like this, when's it going to happen? So I was afraid that I would go to the bathroom in the night.
Yeah.
And run into Santa. Okay. Ah, Santa. Like this like, oh, I'm going to head out into the hallway and see Santa. And that was frighten me. So I was really freaked out by it. So what my parents told me, it was really cozy. Okay. Was that, well, you don't have to worry. Okay. Because, because Santa has to get to so many houses.
Yeah.
What he does, he actually drops off some of the gifts in advance. And so the gifts are already here. No, and they're hidden in dad's closet. Okay, they're hidden in dad's office. No. Okay, and so they're already here and we're going to put them out. Isn't that the best?
That's so sweet. Relieved. No, because what you're saying really rings true to me. I know that you know that I do this now. It's like, let's say you're at a restaurant. You know, you're like, I want the chicken pot pie, right? And they come over and they go, we're out of chicken pot pie, and you're devastated, right? But then you go, yes. Well, you know, I'm actually excited to get the salmon, you know?
Oh.
And then like, so, and being like, I'm actually really looking forward to it.
No, this is actually exactly what should have happened. And
it was the mushrooms the whole time. Yeah.
Yes. And this is, it's never been revealed on Poog. And I'm going to try to say it once in one sentence instead of the 70 sentences that got cut from a previous episode, right? I'm just going to try it. I want to say the mushroom thing. I'm going to try.
That was cut?
Yes.
Are you sure?
positive.
Here I am saying it was the mushrooms the whole time, assuming the listener knows what, the deep listener will know what I'm referring to.
No, right, right. No, it was cut because I internalized that it was cut as, oh, that was cut. Interesting. I thought that was so like important. But yes, I did take 9 minutes to say
it. This is and I will say just to preface, this is feels very, because this is such a, this is to me is evidence of you really knowing my deep psychology.
Yes.
Like of how I feel so seen by you.
And one of the great things about you is that you enjoy being seen. Even called out, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I love
not
that.
Called out. Called out's too like culturally loaded.
Yeah.
But like,
if someone is observing you or knows you well enough to actually be able to maybe gently criticize is almost too strong a word.
Yeah.
But is able to kind of point out your own pathology to yourself.
Yes.
Divine.
Divine. And you light up. So it's really fun.
I love it.
But the mushrooms the whole time thing, which, you know, could be a t-shirt. is simply I observed Kate's psychology, including my own, sitting at a restaurant, deciding what to order. And we were deciding whether to get some kind of mushroom, a mushroom mousse as an appetizer, or there was a side of roasted melange of different mushrooms. We were deciding going back and forth, and Kate was having a lot of anxiety. I mean, just and the thing is, we're in it together because menu anxiety, making the right choice, all of that is huge for me as well. So we're really going into it like life depends on it.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I was able to say that I really think it's the roasted mushrooms and we can get them as an appetizer, even though they're a side.
Yeah.
Genius, by the way.
Yeah.
Recommend to all listeners. Okay. A side can be an appetizer. It's huge. Okay. So like, so like roasted mushrooms sound great. So yeah. So I was like, Kate, it's the mushrooms. Okay. Oh no. It was like, this is more what it is. Cause I'm not doing that thing yet. I think we should get the mushrooms. I think the roasted mushrooms are going to be infinitely more satisfying, whatever. And Kate, this is the key of her psychology, goes, you're right. It was the mushrooms the whole time. Okay. And it was the mushrooms the whole time. Like, and what it revealed was Kate's desire for something to be absolutely certain, and so certain that it was inevitable, right? It was the mushrooms the whole time. Fate led us to it being the mushrooms, and that puts her at ease. It's huge. It's so big to your psychology. God.
It's just so central for
me. And it's not far from mine, right? It's like part of my psychology, so I can recognize it in you.
The desire for certainty. And as you said, fate. This desire.
Yeah, inevitability.
This absolute truth that my own behavior, my own, nothing could interrupt it. Nothing could get me away from that. It was always going to be the mushrooms. And I can surrender deliberate forever. But and that certainty is like so much of something I chase and something I'm having to let go of, right? As I strive to be an adult. But wow.
But it's also, I think there's something very joyous, and it's almost a hyperbole, as you know, maybe this is one of the lovely facets of the hyperbole that you and I so enjoy, and that Trump almost took from us. I don't want to talk about Trump, but anyway, it was like
we start talking about Trump,
right? Do the entire
the Trump jokes. Yeah.
What if Poog was like What if Poog was like, Cheeto Man?
I was going to say, Cheeto Man over here. He wants to sleep with his daughter.
Oh my God.
Who doesn't?
What if Poog became like just hell? What if Poog was us being like, 2020 was a dumpster fire?
I know.
So wait, where were we? Because it was deeply exciting. Oh, the mushrooms, right. You're the certainty. And then I'm trying to think where else. And so, a hyperbole. So it's like, one of the joys of that is a version of hyperbole to me that's joyful, is to just choose to believe that it was the mushrooms the whole time. Like, isn't it more fun? And we love doing that, right? Like, I feel like even like when we would go to, like you imbued Russian samovar or whatever, samovar in New York City on what, like 57th and 8th or something?
Yes.
And like, and you imbued that with a kind of meaning, okay? And you get into this thing where it's got to be samovar. It's got to be samovar. We got to go to samovar, okay?
Yeah.
And then it sort of takes on this meaning that's another level. And it's like, it's fated to be that restaurant. It's fated.
Yes.
Should we talk about restaurants a little bit for fun?
No, because I'll start weeping because it's the only purpose of life is to be in restaurants. But you're right. There's certain.
When was the restaurant invented is a huge question for me. I have a theory, but I'm not sure. And guess what? You've never considered it, right? You've never considered it?
No, I completely am stunned.
All right. Maybe we'll go to break and you revel in that.
Okay.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials,
These patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week, with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back for the break. I just want to say, guess who's on the right side of the bed now? And see, I knew this. I woke up and I said, well, thank God I have Poog today because it's really going to bring me out of this moment. I'm going to get to talk to Jacqueline and I'm going to be re-imbued with, you know, the stuff of life. And it happened to me.
It did.
That big laugh, bringing back to the mushrooms the whole time. And then kind of being able to romanticize of, you know, the world, the old world, the before.
When was the restaurant invited? I know we've got some sociological, archaeological.
Tap on the keys. You know, here I go.
I felt panic when I said that, when you said, should I look it up? Because I just realized, oh God, I don't know if I want to know because I have this idea in my head that I really like. But
oh my God, you're going to love what I just read.
I have a feeling. Does it involve prostitutes?
I mean, I'm sure, but that's not in what I just read.
Okay. It started with like innkeeping?
There's two. I just have to say it because there's two. You're going to die.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's just say it involved. I can't even say it. Let's just say it involved. Sorry, I'm shaking with laughter.
I've never heard
Let's
you pause that
Let's just say
long.
It involved restorative broth.
No. 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 I'm shocked. See, I thought it was going to be blood, sausage, and scrapple, like in
here we go.
Hallie Lowenthal in
My
So-Called
Life. No shock here, folks. 1765.
Okay, yes, that's what I'm talking about. All right,
near the Louvre.
No,
served mostly restorative broth.
No,
yes.
So this is the first time that people left the home. Now, did they eat it there? That's to me what a restaurant is, right? It's not just, I mean, prepared. What is a prepared food?
It's about public intimacy.
Right. Of course, it's about community.
And
with
that
you.
need to perform public intimacy. And what could be more intimate and more private?
Give us a little more. Is there a little more? Can you give us? Because like,
no,
I
trust
just...
me. I'm searching. According to, by the way, bullshit, Paris. I mean, this is obviously a highly European, you know, fantasy of history.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, it was Paris, bitch.
I mean, I've always pictured it. When would someone go into a place and have, when did personal services begin in that way, right? So you have blacksmiths
here we go. 11 AD, China. 1100 AD. So that sounds
There it is.
That's more.
Let's hear it.
That's the real stuff.
Yes, 1972 in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. The communal table. See, that's incredible. What are your thoughts on a communal table? I classically loathe, detest,
of course,
resent.
Okay, traditionally speaking, it is absolute hell. And I'm tired of them trying to pass it off as it's like you're outside the Louvre.
I had one magical communal dining experience. Here I go, folks. It was Tokyo.
Oh, no. Are you serious? You've been to Tokyo?
And here I go. Or was it Kyoto? No, this was Tokyo. This was Tokyo. The Blind Donkey. Check it out. Fantastic. Known as the Chez Panisse of Japan.
Never heard of that either.
Chez Panisse?
Well, is it in Paris, Kate?
Berkeley, California. The invention of farm-to-table dining. The mistress of California cuisine, Alice Waters.
You and your L.A. references, your Brandy Melville, for example.
How dare you? Chez Panisse, by the way.
Your Brandy Melville, I did to bring her down to size. Okay, because
farm to table cooking. My aunt and her farm, organic farm, supplies a lot of the produce to Chez Panisse. Okay, actually, we have to cut that. It's too much of a brag.
No, keep it. I like it.
But Chez Panisse is a... essential.
And it was hard for me to say I don't know.
Listen, I'm sorry to shame you. Chez Panisse is divine. When the world comes back, we will go. It's in Berkeley. Alice Waters is this famous chef. She's known as, I think, kind of the, you know, the farm to table dining, you know, the worshiping the ingredients, the produce.
Worshiping.
Truly worshiping
Chez Panisse the altar is of purity this ingredients.
Is this restaurant that's in a beautiful craftsman home. There's the upstairs one, which is kind of the more casual dining, and then there's the downstairs, which is more formal dining. Okay. But they have, and it's like the open kitchen, and you're watching the, you know, you're watching them saute the vegetables and the what have you. Mm. And there's, you know, bread and cherries cascading down the hardwood.
Rolling down the hardwood. Like bowling balls without the bumpers, just rolling across the floors, and they get stomped under the naked feet of those who worship at the altar of ingredients. Smashing Castelvetranos. Why are you laughing?
Wow, I really needed this laughter because you're so funny. I'm sweating. I finally had to take off my jacket. I've been freezing all morning.
I thought there was something funny going on behind me. I didn't know what had happened.
It was you.
Have you ever been on stage doing stand-up comedy? We're not going to talk about comedy, but have you ever been on stage doing stand-up comedy? Someone laughs and you turn around thinking something funny must be happening behind you. It's happened to me.
That's devastating.
Yeah. Like, surely it couldn't be me.
You ever start laughing in the middle of your own set? Because goddamn, this stuff's good. By the way, I had a dream. Have you ever had a dream about a bit that then you do on stage? I know that we will not talk about comedy on this podcast because being two comedians talking about comedy is pure hell. But listen, I had a dream the other night and I truly wrote down, I was like, I'm going to do it on stage. In my dream, I was just doing push-ups on the stage.
Very funny. You doing push-ups is very funny.
I'm going to start doing push-ups on stage.
No, it's huge. And you can, right?
Well, I was thinking it'd be a really fun opener coming out and just doing push-ups. But then I thought maybe I would do it throughout the set.
You coming out and doing them would obviously get people, you know, on their feet, right?
This is a way to kind of pump up the crowd and pump up myself.
Pumping up the crowd as a practice is weird. You know, it's always made me uncomfortable.
I would love to see you pump up the crowd.
No, and what's funny is like that lives in me, not in my comedian identity, but like, you know, I was the captain of my JV field hockey team. Now,
excuse me?
When it came time to be a senior, when like the skills mattered, no longer was I captain. Okay. I was loving life, making observations on the bench, you know, and upset when they put me in. That was always the feeling. Oh no, they're putting me in, but I'm nice and cozy on the bench. But anyway, yeah, I remember we would jog around the school and I wouldn't it be embarrassing if my memory did not serve and this didn't happen. And then there were people on the team who were like, that didn't happen. But I used to like, we'd have to jog around the school, like, you know, at the beginning, do a 20-minute jog to warm up for field hockey practice. Mm-hmm. And I would sort of like tell these tales to like inspire the group while we were running. Can't you see that? You can see me as a motivational like exercise leader, right?
I can see that. I can see that deeply. It's more about like any like hot rah rah, like that stuff is what's hard.
Just yeah. And yet I was like, be aggressive, be aggressive, B-E-A-G-E-R-E-S-S-I-V-E.
I cannot believe this. Is there footage?
No, but there is a picture of me like with red cheeks, like really red, almost burnt, like sleeping in my field hockey uniform on my bed as a high schooler that you'll probably be like, you'll love. Because I felt this need to do all the things that were potentially things that are like a high school experience. Like, I didn't want to miss out on things like that. Like, what if they're, you know what I mean? Like
right, right.
Playing a sport. Like,
wow.
Am I not going to have that scene? Like, so I did like a lot of activities. I was one of those.
Sorry, back to the dream. You're bringing up that I jumped about prom the other night. Which is, again, one of those kind of...
Oh, well, I regularly dream that it's prom or a dance at the school and I don't have a dress or the right. dress. Oh, also weddings. Showing up to weddings and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have any of the clothes. I'm trying to pull something together.
Yeah, totally.
Pull the mask together.
Do you have like those stage dreams where you know, oh, that's the show and you don't know your lines, that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, baby.
I did that recently where I had, it was like opening night, some really, this play, this beautiful big theater, went on stage, didn't know my lines. So instead I had gum in my mouth and I just started blowing bubbles.
Oh my God.
And the crowd loved it.
No, the crowd loved it. Okay, I know they did. Oh, I have a lot of dreams that I've forgotten that I am in a play. This sounds like what we just said, but it's a specific, there's a specific high school musical thing I have. And it's like, I don't know the dance. And it's like, can I kind of just hide in the back? And
yeah, ain't that life. Ain't that life. Listen, when the world comes back, you and I are getting in a car. And we're going to Chez Panisse, baby.
Now, are you going to lead me? Are you a menu leader like our friend John Early, who, you know, gets a mention in every episode, is very like, you have to, you know, it's the mushrooms the whole time. It's you have to try that.
Well, honey, their menu is seasonal, so it's changing so often. You better not hold on to a beloved dish because it's going to slide off the menu just the way the tomatoes slide off the vine. And so
you once called a tomato white as a web browser.
I don't remember that.
It's one of the funniest things you've ever said in reference to a meal we had in Scotland together. It was an unripe tomato. I think we talked about this on an unaired episode of Food. That's why I'm like,
yes.
You and me once had a meal that was promised to be greatness.
The food in Edinburgh was so universally inedible. It was the most devastating culinary month of my entire life. Therefore, worked for a month. I had one great meal, 27 Elliott's. Shout out. Fantastic food.
Yeah.
Everything else was unbearable. And so I literally could not locate a lemon. Okay. It's kind of a Brexit thing. No lemons in sight. I had to go to three markets to find a goddamn lemon. And so there was no acid. There was nothing. Just a salad could not exist as far as I was concerned.
Right.
Anyway, found this place, supposed to be farm to table, you know, garden in the back. We're in August, you know. Oh, great. This will be great. The meal still was fantastic because we were screaming with laughter over candlelight with cocktails. It was one of the great nights. But I remember a tomato salad and thinking, oh, tomato salad, August, seasonal.
Of course. Yeah.
The tomatoes come white as a web browser, I suppose I said, hard. And I refused.
And I revisited the picture. It's not completely white,
no.
But it deserves the hyperbole of white as a web browser.
Tomato is one of those things that, like, I can't do
anything less than perfection.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Okay, this is where having listeners counts. Can someone in this, I'll say country so the, you know, shipping isn't terrible. Can someone get me a good tomato?
Listen, they're out of season. You're not supposed to in the middle of February have a good tomato.
No, I don't care when. That's fine. It can be in season, but I want the best tomato. I want the best.
Dirty Girl Produce. I'm not kidding. My other cousin, there, I said it, in Santa Cruz, the most phenomenal tomatoes you will ever eat in your entire life. I promise you.
Really?
So sweet that, I mean, you will truly consume eight of them, unlike anything you've ever had.
Well, consumption of quantity is not going to be an issue. Believe me, I know I could eat tomato.
And I'll see you in the summertime. You're going to get it. I'll see you in the summertime. I'm sending you these tomatoes. You're going to fall to your knees, bake for forgiveness.
Do you put a little pepper on them ever? A little salt and pepper? Or
salt. a little Maldon, a little flaky salt on top, a little Maldon, a little Jacobson.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Maldon is regularly pushed on the strategist as a high-end yet useful gift.
I mean, Maldon changed everything for me.
What is that, like this tin of big salt?
It's flaky, these crystals, gorgeous crystals that make you weep.
Right.
Of salt, finishing salt. It's finishing salt. We put on everything, salads.
Right.
Everything from salads to soups.
No, right. It's not a teaspoon of
Maldon. No.
Of Maldon.
Okay, so something huge has happened. I'm very ashamed. Our producer, Theta, has gently informed me that it's Maldon, not Maldon.
Not Maldon.
And I just want to say that I am humiliated. I have been laid bare. This is what I want to be stripped of my
art. Well, this is the true humiliation because
I mean,
because it's a bougie or
also
whatever,
here
right?
I am. Oh, it's everything. Oh, you put it. And by the way, if you could see my pantry, I have a box of Maldon. I prefer Maldon. I have a box of it. I have a travel sized tin that I've been known to take with me if you're going away for a weekend or a few days and you want to make sure you have the right salt.
Pull it out of the purse.
My mother actually, mere weeks ago, held up, you know, through the glass, the COVID friendly viewing, a industrial sized drum of Maldon and being like, I accidentally ordered this.
Maldon.
I mean, it was a restaurant sized tub.
My grandmother, Bontons, okay, Bontons, Bonton, I guess, was like a department store of some kind, okay? And she always pronounced it Bonton.
Unfortunately, I have no association, so it's not entering.
I know. I believed that. That's why I gave you the context of it being the name of a play. I felt like you could go there with
Maldon.
Me.
Maldon. Drop your Maldon stories in the chat.
Maldon. And start to source for me tomatoes for later in the year.
Listen to me. Dirty Girl Produce, we're getting you the tomatoes.
Are there any plant people out there also? I'm looking for...
A jungle.
I've noticed we haven't been begging enough on the podcast recently. It's been all notions. It's been all heart. And soul. What have I been realizing? Like, there's been a distinct lack of
hair stuff. I need new shampoo. There, I said it.
I'll recommend one.
I could use something for my horse hair. I have to get a haircut. It's down to my goddamn ankles. I want PJs.
PJs.
I'm into right now. I want lingerie. I want slips. I want pajamas. Mm. I want garter belts and
shelves for me. If anyone's got any modular storage solutions,
I will take modular.
Artesian modular is what I'm interested in.
I'll take modular because my life has become out of control and I need to organize and shed. But yeah, I would love sleepwear, loungewear, lingerie, and tequila.
If you're asking yourself, well, I do have this business, I could send them this, but this doesn't seem relevant to Poog, you are wrong.
Send.
Okay.
Send.
There's a Gmail address.
Poogpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't risk getting lost in the DMs, as I always say.
And again, I'm worried that my tequila shout out maybe got muddled there. Tequila, preferably a Blanco. Preferably a Blanco. Although the Reposado, I will take.
Obviously, you know, any artesian.
Any natural wines.
Also, it doesn't have to be artesian, by the way. I want to be clear. I'm happy to take things that are toxic as well. Okay. Because I don't want to limit myself.
By the way, now we can get into this at the very end. But are we worried about mold? I suddenly had a fear of mold growing in the walls and making me sick beyond comprehension. I'm fine.
You've been fearing mold
really?
Since 92. Yeah, I remember.
You're kidding.
Anytime I see any mold, I think of you saying black mold, black mold, black mold. Okay, you're always afraid of black mold in New York City.
Really? See, it's so great to hear that because I have no memory of that. Okay.
We have to wrap it up. So anti-mold devices we're interested
anti-mold
in.
Anti-mold home kits, although terrified. What the kit says, yeah, I've got mold and then what? I'm screwed. So actually, I don't want the mold test.
No, no mold test. Fuck it. Live okay. free. And but seriously, the Gmail is the best way, folks.
For the gifts.
Post, subscribe, renew,
and send.
That was Poog.
If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.